Our reading tonight comes from Luke chapter 22. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and a man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour, the power of darkness. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sorry on a midweek evening when all of our brains, including mine, have probably shut down already, focusing a little bit on a heavier doctrine. But the scene in Gethsemane always pulls me to a portion of the Athanasian Creed. And what we know that creed for is giving us solid language for the Trinity. But it proceeds on to give us solid language for the two natures of Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. It goes on to define that perfect man as composed of a rational soul and human flesh. And that creed will echo that line a bit later. For as the rational soul and the flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. And this is important for a couple of reasons. Among all of those ancient heresies, there's one, monophysitism, that asserted that the rational soul part of the man was subsumed into the divine logos. Or perhaps that rational soul was never even present. That Mary had provided the human flesh and the divine logos was always the animating spirit. There are a bunch of variations of it, but the Council of Chalcedon in 451 declared all of them anathema, reiterating the two natures in Christ. And this was important for the stated reason that what was not assumed was not saved. The Athanasian Creed put it this way: "One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into the flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. We are saved by being found in Christ. We are saved because humanity in Christ participates in the divine nature. Jesus was only flesh, then only the flesh was saved. If the flesh was fake, another strange ancient heresy, but then only the Spirit was saved. But Jesus was the perfect man, rational soul and human flesh. So the fullness of what we are has been saved. Now, all of that could be so many angels dancing on the head of a pin, except for Gethsemane, Jesus' prayer. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Which will is Jesus talking about here? It would be something ruinous for all creation if the will of God was split, if the Son was desiring something different than the Father. The unity in Trinity and Trinity in unity would have been ripped asunder. And I hope I don't have to elaborate there that in your gut you can feel the wrongness of that path. Yet Jesus says that his will in this is contrary to the Father's. According to his human nature, there's a rational human soul. Any rational human soul staring at the cross would desire to have that cup taken away. If he did not, he would not have been human. And it's here that we see the ongoing passion of the Christian life. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. It's that word, agony. Our English word is a direct import from the Greek word. Latin had done the same thing. They just directly imported it. And lately, I get a feeling that we've made agony, if we use that word, more physical. But while true agony might have physical manifestations, his sweat became like giant drops of blood. True agony is a ripping apart of the soul, a split in the will. They say this is the ongoing passion of the Christian life, because we have been joined to Christ. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in us. And in times of testing or temptation, we have exactly this agony. The Spirit dwelling in us, desiring one thing, and our rational soul another. And if all of this sounds rather too bloodless for when you actually go through a time of testing, Luke's drops of blood are much closer. What we see in Jesus are the promises and actions of God. When we are in agony in the midst of testing, an angel from heaven was present to strengthen him. We are not alone in it. If we were, we wouldn't last a moment. But God has commanded his angels concerning his people, and those angels are present to strengthen. They are present most likely to clear the way for prayer. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. the last two petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, are there for a reason. God's will is certainly done without our prayer. Our daily bread comes to the just and the unjust alike. But what we most need is to be delivered from our agony. That God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful natures may not deceive us, and that we might win the victory. For deception is what that agony is really about. When we are in agony, someone or something has us confused, that there is a better path for us than the will of God. Jesus prays, not my will, but yours, Father. Because the will of God will be done. What we pray there is that the will of God may be done amongst us. The old hymn that we just sang gets it perfectly. Learn from Jesus Christ to pray. Learn from him to bear the cross. Learn from Jesus Christ to die. And Savior, teach us so to rise.